Morning. Y'all give that band a round again. Thankful for them. Marley, your green shirt looks good. Hey, we're a packed house. July 4th must have hit some of you hard because it wasn't this packed last week, just saying. So glad you are here. We're still in our series, our second week. If I can get this thing, there we go. Our second week of our new series. Hey, if you're a visitor, if you're here, we're glad you're here. And we want to, let's welcome our online people real quick. A lot of people watching. It's a cool thing. But we're in our second week of our prayer series. And I'm just going to get right to scripture. We got a lot of country to cover, a lot of stuff to do. And so I'm just going to go right to it. So if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. And we're going to start in verse 10. All right. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head. As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart, only her lips moved and her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli took her to be a drunken woman. And Eli said to her, How long will you go on being drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered, No, my Lord, I am a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation. Verse 17, Then Eli answered, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him. And she said, Let your servant find favor in your eyes. Then the woman went on her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. They rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord. Then they went back to their house at Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son, and she called the name Samuel, for she said, I have asked for him from the Lord. So, Father God, I thank you for today. I thank you, Lord, for this church. I thank you for all of the parents represented, all the children represented, all the grandparents represented, God. And I just pray that today you would take this message of prayer, God, and instill it into somebody's heart and somebody's mind, Lord, that they could take this out of here today and have faith that their prayers are heard, have faith that you can move mountains, have faith that you hear our prayers and that you'll do anything that we ask, God. And I just pray, God, that you would anoint me, anoint my words, anoint my mind, and this message, God, as I spit what you have given me, Lord, I just pray that you would just help me deliver what you once said. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray. And everybody said, Amen. All right, so this guy Elkanah, he had two wives. Tough sucker. Two wives. I don't know why he'd want two wives, but he had two wives, and their names were Peninnah and Hannah. Peninnah had sons, and she had daughters, and Hannah had none. The scripture says that Elkanah went to Shiloh year after year. He was obedient to God. He went to Shiloh and he gave sacrifices and he worshiped God year after year. And it said that he would give Peninnah and her children, he would give them portions of all of the things, but he would give Hannah a double portion because he loved her even though the Lord had closed her womb. Let me just say right here that people in this world can be downright mean. People can have everything that they have and everything that they want. They can have all the money that they have. They can have all the kids that they have. They can have all of the house that they want, all the cars and all the things that we think that we need to wrap up in this world. They can have all that stuff that makes them think that we need and all this stuff. But then they're so miserable in their life and they're so miserable in how they're living that they just want to make other people hurt. Cody says it all the time, hurting people hurt people. And there's death, there's power in death and life are in the tongue. So this goes to show that everything that we try to pour into our lives and everything we try to get out of this world are never going to fill us up. Nehemiah says that the joy of the Lord is our strength, and that's where we need to be putting our mind and our heart is in the joy of the Lord and the things of the Lord and not of this world, right? Because in verse 6 it says, her rival used to provoke her provoke her grievously to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. This went on year by year, just her mouth just running to Hannah and giving Hannah grief and telling Hannah all these things and wearing her out. Can you just imagine? This was a wife. She had to still get up and go to work. She had to still help around the house. She had to go get the water. She had to cook the meals. She had to serve her husband. She had to get up early. She had to go to bed late. And all the while, she just wants these kids. She just wants to be a mother. She wants to be a mother like she sees in her own house of this other lady just popping these kids out, just getting everything she wants and then receiving all the hate and all the things from her. I just can't imagine how that would be, but I feel like this is us sometimes, and maybe it might be with pregnancy. Maybe there's some women in here that are having trouble getting pregnant. Maybe there's some people that can relate to this better than some, or maybe it's just when we see them buy a house. Maybe it's when we see families that are together after ours has been broken up. Maybe it's marriages that were saved and then your marriage wasn't, or maybe it's just, how about this? The perfect lives we see everybody having on Facebook. Maybe it's that. Maybe we just get in this place where we just get depressed and we get all these things and we got to pay attention and we got to keep praying and we got to make sure that our mind are on the things of the Lord and not on the things of the world so that we don't get in a bad place like Hannah gets. Man, she was sad. She was beat down. She was depressed. She quit eating. It was a bad place to be. And she'd hit rock bottom. She'd hit rock bottom. She didn't know what else to do. She didn't know where to go. So what did she do? She prayed. The Bible says that she prayed and she poured her heart out to God. It said that she was deeply distressed. She wept bitterly. She simply was telling God what was on her heart. She was telling God what she'd been dealing with year after year, day after day, month after month, what was going on in her head. She was just giving these things to God. And she said, you know what, Lord, if you just give me a child, I'll give him back to you. She said, God, if you'll just bless me with a son, I'll give the son back to you. Psalms 127 Verse 3 says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are the children of one's youth. My kids and your kids are a gift from God. God gifted us these children. God gifted us these kids so that we could raise up the next generation. A gift. So in the cowboy world, it's just kind of this thing that just has been a thing ever since I've grown up. But a lot of times, cowboys give other cowboys a gift. Somebody's always giving somebody a quarter. Somebody's always giving somebody a bridle. And in the cowboy world, we don't get rid of those gifts. We cherish those gifts. We either put them to use and take care of them, or we hang them up on the wall and remember the gift. We take care of it. We don't give our gifts away. Can I just say, stop giving your gifts to the things of the world. Stop giving your children to a dadgum iPad. Stop giving your children to the cell phone. Stop giving your children to everything that makes them unaware of the things of this world. God gave you me and those gave us those kids to raise up in the kingdom of God, to raise up a child that could pray, to raise up a child that knew to respect his mother and father, to raise up a child that knew God and hopefully one day would make a decision on his own or her own to accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. God gave us these gifts for us to raise up in the kingdom, and we need to stop giving them to the things of the world. Well, they act bad at the restaurant. We'll pick them up, take them outside, and bust their butt. I'm telling you. I remember at the little First Baptist Church in Guthrie, it was a little shotgun church. People to this day, every time I see them, they talk about me preaching, and they're like, man, I remember at church when your daddy, he'd take you outside and wouldn't even take you down the stairs. We could hear him whipping your butt while the preacher was preaching. And then they said, you're a pretty good boy when you came back in. I mean, whoop their butts and then love on them. Train up a child in the way he should go. Man, they give you those three crayons at every restaurant. In my house, they're always the wrong colors. But Hayes, every time we sit down, Hayes says, Dad, draw me a bronc. Dad, draw me a maverick bull. Dad, draw me this, draw me that. Do I really want a color? No, I want to read the menu, enjoy my tea, and hang out with my family. But man, I'm going to sit there, and I'm going to teach him communication in public, and I'm going to communicate with him, and I'm going to draw pictures with him, and then we can keep those pictures, and we can look at him when he's 25 or 26, and we can look back on the times when we were so sick of taking kids to the restaurant because it drove us crazy and stressed us out, and we can be so happy that now he can sit in the restaurant and communicate to the waiter and order his own food. It's just what God calls us to do. Well, we give it to him in the car to give us a break. Well, give me a break. God gave you that kid. Communicate to him. Teach him some songs. If he likes cowboying, put that song on. I'm going to be a doggone cowboy all of my life. Like, teach him something. Play some worship music. Talk to him. In our car, it's the dumbest game in the world, and I don't know where Hayes learned it, but we jump cars. Car coming, he says, jump it, jump it, jump. Woo! It's just something, just communicate with them. The enemy tells us all the time, and it happens in my home when I'm tired and when I'm wore out, and I come home and Hayes is like, "Dad, can we go to the night pen? It's got sand. Can we go to the night pen and have a horse sale?" And it's where I have to sit in a chair and I have to play like I'm Steve Frisco, and I have to sell horse after horse after horse after horse. And a lot of times I'll say, "Man, not today, man. I'm tired. I want to go sit down. I want to go take a nap." But if I do that day by day by day by day, that's a lie from the enemy saying that I'll do it tomorrow. But then tomorrow turns into next week. And then we're about to talk about this time thing. Hey, look, we're losing time. Every time that you just give them an iPad, every time that you give them a cell phone, you're losing time to train up a child in the way that he should go. We're losing time. Better move on. I'm going to tell this story. I did it last service too, and I'm not bragging on me and Marley. Man, if we're going through any time of a struggle of parenting, it's right now. Hayes is a turd. Hayes acts like his dad. I mean, he's a tired, heard that, amen. I bet it's struggle right now. It's a struggle, and you know, we can freak out, and we kind of get worried about, are we doing the right thing? I don't want to raise up a kid in a preacher home. I don't want to be all this stuff and all these things that we can worry about that the enemy comes to try to steal, kill, and destroy in our minds as parents. But man, just interact with them. Just talk to them. We went to Will's Barbershop. If y'all want to go get a good haircut, go to Willie's Barbershop up there and get your haircut. A little high, but pretty good haircut. But I went there 2 days ago, me and Hayes, and I didn't, when we walked in, we told everybody hi. He shakes old Teddy's hand, he shakes old Will's hand, and he shakes, it's just what we do. It's just how, I mean, you know, like, more is caught than taught, right? So then he just sits down. I'm first in the chair, I'm sitting down, and Will spins me around like he does, and I'm looking at Hayes. He's got his leg crossed like he's 60 years old, and he's got a magazine flipped open looking at knives, guns, and horses, and everything else. And you know what I noticed, and Will can tell you this too. Everybody knew that came in there, walked in, and they were on a mission, and they'd stop, and they'd look at Hayes. Why? Because it's not the norm anymore. And then they would have a comment about a five-year-old sitting there reading a magazine. I mean, it's just not the norm anymore. It should be the norm, you know? And then he's turning, "Dad, look at this horse, look at this knife." I mean, we're just communicating in the barbershop. I'm going to move on. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior. Mom, Dad, you're a warrior. The Bible says it, not me. You're a warrior, like arrows in the hands of a warrior. A warrior's not soft. A warrior is a leader. A warrior gets up. A warrior fights. A warrior prays. A warrior knows where to go, how to go, and when to get there. A warrior keeps his head on a swivel. A warrior takes care of his people. Like hands in a warrior, he knows what to do. He knows where to go. If we're not grounded warriors, then our arrows will just be going here and going there. A warrior doesn't go to war unless he's practiced, unless he's ready, unless he knows when he draws that thing back, he's going to hit the target. When we raise these kids up in our home, we need to be praying every day over their lives. God, work where I can't work. God, be with Hayes where I can't be with Hayes. Lord, give Holden a heart for you at a young age. God, work where me and Marley can't go. Give me and Marley a vision. We got to raise these kids up to be arrows that are going to hit the target. 13, verse 13, only her lips moved. She was speaking out of her heart. Can I just say, if you're going through heck right now, or if you've been going through heck for years and years and years, God knows your heart and God hears your heart. We don't always have to make this big deal. We don't have to make this big presentation. We don't always have to get on a knee, but God knows your heart. If you can't speak, a while ago over here, I was speaking in my heart to the Lord, like, "Lord, I speak against the enemy. Lord, be with my mind. Lord, be with my mouth. I'm over there just speaking out of my heart." God knows and hears your heart. When you're busted, when you're beat down, you're sobbing, can't talk, the Bible says, Romans 8:28-26, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." The Lord knows your heart. Never stop giving God your heart. When you get too far down, when you get too far away, give God your heart, and don't let other people stop you from giving God your heart. Verse 14, Eli says, "How long are you going to be drunk, girl?" He thought she was drunk. Can I just tell you, some of the people that you're around that are not seeking and serving God at the capacity that you are not going to understand the things that you're doing. They're not going to understand. If they don't know what it's like in your home, they're not going to understand. If they don't know what it's like at the hospital that Connor was talking about, they're not going to understand. If they don't know that you just lost your father 2 months ago, they're not going to understand. Can I tell you, there is one guy who does know what's going on in your heart, and he is there for you always. But he said, like we talked about last week, if you would come to me humbly, I will heal your land, heal your heart, heal your mind, heal you spiritually, physically, emotionally. God knows your heart. He knows what's going on inside. He knows what you need. Why are we such a generation of attention getters? I'm one of them. Not just pointing the finger. I want my horses to ride good. I want somebody to tell me that's a nice colt. Good job. Man, good hand, good dragging, good rope, whatever. But we got to be careful. We're living in this time where we wake up and we live for everybody to give us an attaboy. Everybody to tell us a good job. Everybody to tell us, man, you're great and all this stuff. How come that what we think about the world is more important than what we think about what God thinks about us? How come we care more about what he thinks or she thinks than what God thinks? I wasn't made in Darren's image. I was made in God's image. God knows my heart. Darren don't know my heart. So why am I worried about the world? Why am I trying to please the world? Why am I trying to be this somebody in the world when I'm already somebody in God's eyes? Verse 18, she said, let your servant find favor in your eyes. Then the woman went on her way. She ate, and her face was no longer sad. I love this part. I said it a while ago. If you're struggling right now, if you've been struggling last week, if you're fighting last month, last year, I don't care how long or how deep or how far gone or how hard it is or how lost you feel or how far from God you feel. Look, get it out of your mouth, get it out of your heart, and give it to God and believe that he hears you and believe that he's going to do something in your life, because he said that she cried, she prayed, and then she gave it all to God, and then she got up and she ate. She ate, but then she believed, and then she went on, and then she said, I'm going to be a soldier. I'm going to be a warrior. God's going to answer my prayers. I'm going to have arrows in my quiver that God's going to let me raise up. I'm not going to stay depressed. I'm not going to stay weak. Penina ain't going to keep controlling my mind. God's going to control my mind. I'm going to have children. God's going to work on my behalf. She believed these things in her heart, and then they didn't stop there. They're going through heck. Their life don't look like they want it. You know, they both probably wanted kids. They want all these things, and God's not hasn't done what he has done yet in their life. And guess what they still chose to do? The Bible said they got up early and they worshiped God. They got up early and they worshiped God. Get your butts up and worship God. Get up. If you want something to change, get up. Worship God. Give them your first fruits. Make some sacrifices in your life. And then it says they went home, and Elkanah looked at his wife. What a weird name. Every time I've been studying this for 4 weeks, and that word still wears me out. I'm never going to name my son that. But they get home. They travel home after worshiping God, and he looks at his wife, and he goes, girl, the way you've made a mind switch, the way you've been praying, the way you've been worshiping God, it's got me pretty wound up. Get your butt dressed up. He dressed up. They went down to Ramah Steakhouse. They told Penina, bye, girl. Hope you have a good night. Get some kids to bed on your own. Hope you don't got to change no diapers. Hope you don't drop the milk bottle. You just have fun. We're going out on a date. And then guess what? They came home, and they came together like God made marriages to come together. And then God remembered their prayers, and God came and worked on their behalf. And then Hannah conceived and bore a son and named him Samuel. But there's another part to it, and I got this last night when I was going over this. Yeah, God heard Hannah's prayers, and God blessed Hannah, and God blessed her womb, and God worked on her behalf. But it took two people. She had an obedient husband that loved the Lord. It said that he went every year to give sacrifice, every year to worship God. So it took two people that were obedient to God, two people that came together believing in God's work, believing in prayer, for them to have this son that they never could have. Worship team, if you could come, we'll roll to the end of this thing. But then the Bible says she raises Samuel and she gets him weaned. And then she does what she said she was going to do. She takes him back. She takes some sacrifices. And she dedicates him back to the Lord. And I just want y'all to understand this, because I didn't really understand this when I first started reading it. And really, Marley's the one that told me this. But when we bring families up here and we dedicate these babies, when we dedicated Hayes and Holden as bad as I want to, we had to take them home. Like, we dedicate these babies back to God, but we take them home. This girl spent her whole life wanting a baby. This girl spent her whole life wanting to be a mother. God finally gave her one, and she took him back to Shiloh, and she left him there. She left him there under Eli to raise him up to the Lord. She lent him to the Lord for the rest of his life. She had to leave her child there, y'all. After she breastfed this child forever, after she raised this child and got him weaned where he could take care of himself, go to the bathroom by himself, not much older than my little boy Holden. She had to leave him there and go back to her home. But I love what she does at the end. She relives her prayers and remembers her prayers to the Lord. Verse 26, and she said, oh, my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who was standing here in your presence praying to you, Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to you, Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. In case you didn't know, Samuel went on to be a leader of Israel. The combined roles of a prophet, a priest, and a judge. A great leader. It all stemmed from what? A mother's prayers. A mother's faith. A mother who said, you know what? I ain't carrying this crap no more. I'm giving it to God. I'm not going to be depressed no more. I'm giving it to God. I'm going to go eat. I'm going to go fill my body with some food. A praying mother who said, here, Lord, take this from me. I believe you're going to work on my behalf. I believe you're going to work. Me and my husband have been obedient to you. We've been living for you. We've sacrificed. We've worshiped. Lord, bless us. What if she had given up? What if she had got weak in the waiting? What if she prayed all those years and said, you know what, I'm done praying. I'm giving up. What if she just stayed depressed? Would we have Samuel? And the other side of that is pretty cool. I like this. What if she hadn't been obedient to God of what she told God she would do? What if when she started holding that child and took that child back up there, what if she couldn't drop him off? What if she couldn't leave him? What if she couldn't leave her son? What if she couldn't dedicate him back to the Lord? But this is cool. Since she did that, God said, you know what? Since you held up your end, since you prayed, since you believed, God gave her 5 more children to raise. God gave her more kids to raise. Her desires of her heart. Psalms talks about the Lord will give you the desires of your heart. He ain't going to give you the desires of your heart if you're not being obedient to God. But you can bet your butt if you're being obedient to God and if you trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding, God's going to bless you and give you the desires of your heart. She was a mama of 1, and then she was a mama of 6. So speaking of mothers, my mom was here last service. Thank the Lord. But there's power in prayer of a mother. God gave a mother that gift of a child, and there's power over your words, over your children, and over your prayers to God about your children. This letter I'm about to read is in 2010. I graduated high school a year early, and I wanted to go ride Bronx. I had a scholarship to go ride Bronx. That's what my mind was set on, to go to college and ride Saddle Bronx. And I just graduated early because I was so smart, but not really. But my mom, every day, I tell you all the time that she has a journal every day she kept. She got a stack of them from all the years since she got saved, of this journals, these spirals. And she wrote me this one every day of my last year of school in high school in Guthrie. She wrote me this letters every day, and this is what I'm going to share with y'all. And I just want to see the importance of what you do, Mom, is what your kids will do. And look, when I left that home, I steered way away from the Lord. I veered off the road. I fell off the wagon. I tried everything that you could try in the world. I did everything you could do. And don't you know, my mom was probably thinking, God, I've prayed over this turd my whole life, his whole 18 years of living, Lord. I prayed that he would listen to you, God, that he would have a walk with you, Lord, that he would try to walk in your ride in your life, Lord. All these things that she prayed, and here I am walking this life out, throwing all that away. Don't you know that there's probably some days where my mama was like, God, are you listening? But then you know what? Since she didn't get weak in the waiting, and because she raised up a child in the way that he should go, now 2025, I finally got my crap together and I finally surrendered to the Lord, and God worked a miracle in my life, and it's all because of a mother's prayers. And there's power in what your kids see you do. More is caught than taught. Cody says all the time, I saw my mom get up every day before the sun and get in her word and write in her journal. So 2010, good morning. I'm sitting out on the patio at 6:30 a.m. The sunrise was beautiful. You're playing cowboy this morning. You're probably getting dropped off on drive by now. I love mornings like this when I can really take the time to read my devotion, spend some extra time with my precious Lord. He has been so good to me. When I started keeping this journal, I wanted to tell you things that I thought that you needed to know, but I kind of feel like I ran out of time. Here's my latest mess up. I regret so much. That we have not been in church this past year. I know that you're grounded in the Lord, and I know that we don't have to go to church, but it's really the best way and the best idea to stay in balance with God. And I hope I haven't ruined you in this area. It's a shame that we only have one church here in Guthrie, and it's a shame that Anson's so far away. Cole, I may be wrong, and maybe God wants me to go to church in Guthrie. Maybe I'm being stubborn. Maybe I'm being prideful. I'm having trouble with this thing. I loved going to Rocky Point and Stephenville. I could be involved there and had great things for you and Cody to do, and it made me a better person. When you're around like believers and uplifting people, it uplifts you too. I hope that you will return to church. You'll have the perfect opportunity in Snyder. I love you very much. Man, I'll tell you, when I went to Snyder, I wasn't looking for no church. I got out of little old Guthrie and realized what you could do out there in the world, and I wasn't looking for no church. But man, through her obedience every day of my life, praying for me, I don't know the years, but however many years, I came back. And I was always convicted when I was living away from the world because of her prayers and because of what she taught me as a young boy. So, Mom, your prayers matter. Don't wait till they're about to graduate. Don't wait till they're about to graduate to bring them to church. Don't buy the lie of the enemy. We'll go next week. Because then it turns into next month, and then it turns into next year, and then your kid's graduating. I tell you all the time that year that I surrendered in February of 2022, this is over 3 years ago, I don't know why. You can call me gay, you can call me soft, call me whatever you want. But the Lord laid it on my heart to just start writing down. I would study my word, and I would write these things down, and I would put the word, what I read, into my own words and how it applied to me in my life, and then I would just write a simple prayer down. Now look, this is before Marley had an encounter with the Lord. This is after I did. This is 6 months before I ever saw the Lord work. I didn't really know what I was doing. I just knew that I was seeking God. I just knew that I'd given up the old me and I was trying to put on the new me. But it's simple. This is May 21st of 2022. 1 Peter is where I was at the time. This is chapter 1, 13 through 16. I just wrote down, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. Rest your hope fully on the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as you used to be in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct. Because it is written, be holy for I am holy. And then here's my simple prayer. Lord, help me keep my mind right so that the enemy has no hold on me or my family. Let my conduct be holy as you have commanded. Teach me to teach Hayes, our little boy, how to walk in the way that you want us to walk. Braid me and Marley together as a pure unit. In loving, following Christ, and growing spiritually as a husband and as a wife. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. This is later that year, still in Peter. Chapter 2, but when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. He himself suffered and bore our sins in his own body on that cross, that we having died to sins, might live for righteousness, but whose stripes were healed. And this is my prayer, Lord, thank you for taking it all. I told you all too that I was always sending her a message. I was always sending her a Bible verse. I was always just sending instead of getting out of the way and letting God work in our marriage and letting God fix what only God could fix. This is the day that I gave it to the Lord. This is where I wrote it down. Lord, thank you for taking it all for me. Help me in the times of struggle like right now, Lord, to take it humbly and to take it patiently. I ask that you bring Marley back to me, Lord. Help me stay out of her way. I'm giving it all to you, Lord. I'm done putting my thoughts into her. I'm done putting my things into her. Help me love her and be sweet to her, even though right now I'm so frustrated. I believe you can do this. I believe you can change it. Surround my family with safety and bless Hayes through this whole thing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This is after our encounter. This is after that year. This is after we both surrendered. This is after we laid it all on the table. 6 years of living like crap. 6 years of not being a unit for Christ. 6 years of not being one flesh. My mess ups, her mess ups. This is after we came back together. Proverbs 16:9. This is a few days after the Lord worked. The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord will establish his steps. God's in charge of your life. God has things for you if you're obedient. We can run and we can do and we can do all these things that we want to do, but man, if we'll just surrender and let God work, it'll be the life that He has planned for you and the will that He has planned for you. And my prayer was, Lord, thank you for telling me to just obey, to just follow you. It was the best decision of my life, and thank you also for not letting me stray in the waiting. It made the revival so much sweeter. Remind me, Father, to never lose hope in the waiting. God, please continue to show me how to love her the best that I can possibly love her. Father, keep us so in love that maybe we don't have another broken season. Lord, grow me as a husband and grow me as a father. Bless this home. Protect this home. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Look, my challenge to y'all today was when you leave here to go by the Dollar General and get you a cheap spiral. If you can write in your family, if you're old enough to write, get you a spiral. Whatever you're reading, put it in your words, a little piece. Don't have to be nothing great big. And get your butt up and spend time with God in the morning and read your word and write down what the word said to you that day. And then write down your prayer. Because one day when you go through life and one day when you can look back, that was 3 years ago, over 3 years ago, I can look back and I can remember when I'm kind of weak or when I'm kind of down, or maybe I'm second guessing my calling to preach, or maybe I'm going through a rough time. I can read those spirals and I can see where God is real. I can see where God heard my prayers. I can see where He worked in my life. I can see where He changed her life. I can see where He blessed us with another son, a healthy son, a gift from God. It's a reminder. But then, mom, dad, when you die, when you're gone, and these kids are going through hell in a jacked up world, they can pick up your spirals that you wrote, and they can read the prayers that you prayed over them, and they can read the scriptures that you fought the enemy with, and they can fight the enemy with those scriptures, and they can fight the enemy with everything like how mom and dad did, and they will believe in their heart, if He worked for my parents, He's going to work for me too. Get you a spiral, write it down, remember it. So, talking about remembering things, today we're going to take communion. We're going to remember what Jesus did for you and I. Jesus ate the Passover meal with His disciples the day before He was crucified. So us as believers here, we just take part in Holy Communion. If you're not a member, it's okay. If you believe in Jesus Christ, He's come and saved you. Man, partake with us. Luke 22:19-20 says, "And He took the bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it, and He gave it to them, saying, 'This is My body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, 'This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in My blood.'" So when you come down here, if you're on this outside row, if y'all would start in the back and come around the outside of the wall, and you outside row bunch over here, come around. Start in the back, come around the wall, and then you guys in the middle, start in the back too. But when you come up here, whatever way the wine is, leave that way. You middle bunch, if the wine's on the right, then y'all go to the right. If it's on the left, y'all go to the left, because if we don't, the way it's kind of set up, it's been chaotic the last few times we've done that. But there's going to be a couple men there holding you if you guys will come. And one's going to tell you the body of Christ is broken for you. And you take that bread and you dip it in the wine, and then he'll tell you the blood of Christ is shed for you. And look, if you drop your bread, don't cannonball in there to get it. It's okay. We'll give you another piece of bread. But remember like I remember how He worked for me. Remember how He worked for you as we take this. They're going to sing a song. Remember where you were. Remember where you've come out of. Remember what He's done. Believe what He's going to do. And remember the beating and remember all the things that He went through and the death that He took for us. So, Lord, I thank You for this day. I thank You for these stories in the Bible, these powerful stories of prayer, Lord. I pray that You would just remind us this week as we go through this week, God, that You'll answer prayers that we think are unanswerable. Lord, I pray that You would work in somebody's heart and somebody's mind today, that You would work in their life. God, let them leave what's behind and shoot for what's forward. Let them believe that You're working, that Your prayers are being heard. And, Lord, thank You so much for dying on that cross for us, sending Your Son to take it all for us so that we can have the power of prayer. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Y'all can go ahead and start in the back.